and he headed straight there. The spaceport's umbilical door was open, revealing the gray skin of Stryver's ship at the far end. Shigar wasn't so foolish as to go anywhere near that inviting portal. It would be booby-trapped for certain. Instead, he waited nearby, in full view of both the First Blood and the spaceport entrance, with his lightsaber inactivated, but held tightly at the ready. Stryver had to come for his ship sometime, and Shigar would be prepared. He emptied his mind of all concerns, every worry about Lorin and his mission, every ache and pain, and stood poised and ready for action. The sound of repulsors activating broke him out of his trance. One of the ships was warming up its engines for liftoff. He circled the disembarkation area to identify which one, but the sound wasn't coming from any of the closed airlocks. It was coming from Stryver's berth. That surprised him. He had assumed Stryver was traveling alone. There could, therefore, be no one inside his ship to warm it up for him. Either Shigar was wrong on that point, or Stryver had activated it by remote. The repulsor whine continued to rise in volume. This wasn't just warming up. The ship was about to take off. Cursing under his breath, Shigar abandoned subtlety. Approaching the ship's outer airlock, he quickly examined it for weak points and found just one. The door was keyed to Stryver's biometric signs, height, breadth, proportion of limbs, and so on. But it also featured an override, just in case Stryver was ever grievously injured in the course of a mission. If he lost a major limb, for instance, that override could be sliced into by someone clever enough. Shigar wasn't as good a slicer as Lorin, but he had seen this kind of trick before. Mandalorian ships had been Jedi targets ever since the Great War, and he had been taught over and over again the best way to disable them. Working quickly, he tapped a series of codes designed to reset the override function back to a commonly used default. When he typed in the default, the door slid open. Not a moment too soon. The repulsors were at screaming pitch, and the ship was hovering lightly on the ground. In another second, it would have been high above the palace. Shigar leapt lightly into the airlock and was swept upward with it. The moment his boots touched the floor, however, a secondary security system kicked in. Powerful electric shocks coursed through his body, sending his muscles into irresistible spasms. He fell onto his side, unable even to cry out. His jaw was locked open in a silent scream. The autopilot raised the ship straight above the spaceport and adjusted its trim. Shigar felt himself rolling toward the open airlock, but couldn't move a finger to save himself. The electric shock ceased the moment he cleared the airlock. That was something to be grateful for, as he fell like a stone to the roof below. How long he was unconscious, he didn't know. Minutes, probably. Sufficient time for his helpless body to be gathered up by a roof security team, secured with binders at wrists and ankles, and gagged for good measure. When he woke, he was being transported through the palace on the shoulders of a squad of Gamorreans. Neither his lightsaber nor his comlink was within reach. Instead of fighting, he concentrated on easing his body's many bruises and batterings. He didn't know how far he'd fallen, but fortunately he had ended up with no broken bones. A ringing skull, yes, and a crushing blow to his dignity, but nothing worse. For the moment, he was grateful simply to be alive. His captors whisked him at a brisk jog through the palace. He memorized the turns, but without a starting point, he had no way of knowing exactly where he was going.